Welcome to Jawa Jabber, a Star Wars podcast dedicated to spreading our own little slice of positivity throughout the galaxy. From the prequels to the sequels to every Disney Plus spinoff they want to throw at us, we're here to celebrate any time we get to spend in our favorite galaxy together, and we want you to come along for the ride. I'm David Wren, joined by my bro hosts Dennis, Kyle, and Matt. We invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy our fully armed and operational podcast.
And this is Jawa Jabber.
Hello there, Star Wars fans, and welcome to another new episode of Jawa Jabber. I am your Supreme Leader, David Wren, and I am joined by my best friends and bro hosts, Kynobi.
Hello there.
And Dennis the Phantom Menace.
Hello.
And before I forget, happy May the 4th, everyone, because this is our special May the 4th episode. Woohoo! We've made it to another holiday. Go us.
That's right.
Unfortunately, Matt, the radar technician, could not be with us tonight, but he sends his love and, you know, his ready to talk some real talk with us and, you know, whatever, and he'll be back on the podcast soon. But tonight he could not make it, but he wishes you all a very happy May the 4th. So I just wanted to take some time to talk about the actual holiday for some of our listeners that may not be aware of what May the 4th is. Obviously, it is a play on the phrase, May the Force be with you, using, you know, May 4th, and it's kind of become an annual Star Wars holiday. It was very, 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 very unofficial at first. You know, it was just memes and, you know, people like kind of joking about it. And then once Disney acquired Lucasfilm and greenlit the sequel trilogy, Disney pretty much successfully began officially celebrating it, as they do many other things. And they started off with celebrations at both Disneyland and Disney World. As of today, the parks offer a variety of not only merchandise, but special food items, and sometimes even firework displays or attraction overlays like the Hyperspace Mountain, which takes over for Space Mountain over in Disneyland. They do not do that over in Disney World. But I also believe Disneyland Paris does the same thing with Hyperspace Mountain. And of course, once Disney got on the bandwagon, other major retailers will hop on the bandwagon as well, and they have special sales, they have Star Wars items for sales. Lots of communities do different things. Like, I know when it's on a weekend, they tend to have, like, you know, outside activities for, like, kids and their parents and all that stuff. Minor league sports teams, they hold Star Wars themed events on or around May 4th. You know, it really just started with somebody on the internet saying, oh, hey, may the Force be with you. And, like, you know, it's really become some kind of actual holiday. And I know I personally celebrate it all the time. I mean, you know, we celebrate Star Wars every day, pretty much, for the most part, or at least I do. And, yeah, like, I know everybody jokes that it's my high holy day. Like, I take off of work. None of the customers are surprised when I am not at work that day. What about you two? Like, do you do anything? Dennis, I know you kind of are in my boat with the taking off work sometimes. I don't know what you're up to this year.
I have been doing that in the past. I actually don't even remember what I did last year. I don't quite remember.
You didn't answer the phone because I tried to call you from Batu.
From last year? Oh, that's right, because you were at Disney World, right?
Yes.
I
was.
So that means I must have been at work then.
The culmination of my May 4th activities was 2022, when I was actually on planet for the first time and building my own lightsaber. And it was the best day ever.
Yeah, and then we had Celebration in Anaheim.
Had Celebration in Anaheim, yes, exactly, which was a mere couple weeks later. We went to Batu again, so...
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So usually, I mean, I would do things like, I would take the day off work like you do, I probably watch a couple of the films, just not always the same ones, but whatever I was feeling like that day, or some of my favorites, top three maybe.
Right.
But with regards to like other things, I remember at least for 2019, or was it 2020? I forgot which year it was, but we were like texting back and forth the whole day because we were trying to get merchandise.
It was 2020 when the Disney stores were shut down and Shop Disney decided to, you know, crap out on everybody. And we spent all day on the internet trying to get our merchandise.
Yeah.
We would have just lined up at the Disney store.
Exactly. And that's kind of what I feel is, unfortunately, I feel like this year, or maybe even last year, for you was different, but for me, it just kind of felt like I made it more of a thing. You know, we would go to the Disney store, they would have something special planned, or they would have a special piece of merchandise. And so you kind of made a day of it. I would go and, you know, just treat myself to go get something fun to eat, something to drink, and just kind of enjoy the day. But this year, I don't know, I haven't gotten off of work, so I'm probably going to have it a lot more muted than I did in the past with regards to May the 4th celebrations. But I mean, the things that have happened in the last few years, just with our world and stuff, has just changed a lot of things, and the ability to spend as much money on things that I would like to get. So it's unfortunately a bit of a downer, but in the past, at least, it's been a lot of fun because a lot of people, like you said, at work know that that's your special day. I had the same situation, you know, when I was working at a different company a couple of years ago. And so I would take the day off too, or at least I take half the day off and just enjoy the fandom, enjoy the hobby that comes with it, and the collecting aspect as well. That was always fun. I think it was a lot of the time more fun to do the actual hunting for things or going and doing things and actually getting the item. Because when you get the item, then that excitement is there, but it's a little less than it was trying to find it. So that was my kind of thing. And this year, it's not going to be as much as it has been in the past few years, but it's still a special day, and it's still something that we as Star Wars fans do, do extra things on, just so we can remember and kind of remind ourselves why we love this franchise so much.
Right, exactly. How about you, Kyle? Do you do anything special for May 4th, or have you done anything? Are you going to do anything?
Yeah, I'm probably in the minority with Star Wars fans on this topic. When I was little, I remember May the 4th being a much bigger deal, especially with like Force Friday when the movies were coming out. With the prequels, the May 4th was a big deal because we'd go to the store and save up all my allowance to buy whatever toys I wanted from the Clone Wars movie or the prequels or whatever it was. These days, I don't know, usually I put on like a pair of Star Wars socks or a tie or a shirt underneath my dress shirt or something and wear that to work. I might watch a movie when I get home after the gym or something, but I don't do a whole lot these days. I mean, I enjoy seeing everyone relish in the topic and just see Star Wars get the kind of spotlight it deserves for a day. But for me, May 25th is a much bigger day. Like, I always make an effort to watch one of the originals. I think it was probably like A New Hope, Return of the Jedi, and then one of the prequels, at least, that released on May 25th. So I'll make an effort to watch one of those movies that day.
New Hope and Return of the Jedi, yes, were both May 25th. And Solo.
Yep, that's right.
And Solo, yeah. Yeah, I believe the 19th was Phantom Menace and Revenge of the Sith. And I guess Attack of the Clones was like the 16th or something like that. And Empire would have been somewhere around there, too, because they were all in May.
I guess it's kind of Star Wars month. It's not just May the 4th.
Yeah. You haven't heard the new thing? The new thing is this is the May.
This is the May. Yeah, I have heard that, actually.
This is the May, yeah. I've seen that going around Facebook the last couple of days, and I'm like, okay. I can dig this. This is pretty cool. I really enjoy this. Yeah, we've got Star Wars Month, they call it. May 1st is 501st Day. Mm-hmm. And then May the 4th, obviously, is May the 4th be with you. May 5th is Revenge of the 5th. Which I don't think a lot of people do, but that's okay. May 14th is George Lucas's birthday. So that's definitely a day to celebrate. May 16th is Attack of the Clones. May 19th is The Phantom Menace and Revenge of the Sith. May 20th is Empire Day, apparently. Oh, duh. Empire. Empire Strikes Back. Okay, there we go. No, because May 21st is The Empire Strikes Back. So what is Empire Day? I don't know. And then May 25th is A New Hope, Return of the Jedi, and Solo. So
that's a lot in this month. Yeah,
it is a lot. That's why we're at This Is the May.
Yeah. And I think what Kyle was saying before, like, I feel like I see a lot of these posts around May 4th, and it kind of makes me just a teeny bit jealous of the people who can just go to Batu on May the 4th because it's like a block away. And I'm like, you know, that then I would make like a more of an effort to do something if we were in that area, right? So we would go to Oga's, we would go ride the Falcon, we would do all this stuff. And I'm sure it's going to be packed at both Disneyland and Disney World. But I feel like that would make the day a little bit more special too, because even in my area out here, there may be like a bar or two that has like a May the 4th drink, but like, it's nothing like going to the actual Star Wars land, quote unquote, and going to Batu and experiencing it there in that environment. So I feel like it would have been a lot more, I don't know, I wouldn't say meaningful, just a lot more like a thing to do and an activity to partake in. I would definitely take the day off. I don't care what my work would say. I would call in sick or whatever just to be able to go on those days and enjoy it with so many people. So kind of like a mini celebration almost.
Well, that being said, I was on Batu last May 4th, okay? Let me tell you, May 5th is actually the better day to go. Because I went both. And the reason being, May 4th was just so crowded.
Yeah, I like, figured.
And again, I loved the fact that I was there. Like, I took all those pictures of me in front of the Millennium Falcon with the blue milk and, like, the crowds, and Rey and Chewie were walking around, and it was great, and it was awesome, and it totally felt like, wow, this is where I belong on May the 4th, you know what I mean? But, like, I wish it hadn't been as crowded, especially since I went the very next day and it was so much easier to get around. I got on the Falcon within like 15 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, it was so much better the next day and the next day on the 5th was actually that day that I called you guys and texted you guys because I hung out in the park like way after it closed. Like, it closed at 9 and I didn't leave till almost 10 o'clock. And I was taking all those night pictures and stuff. Like, on May the 4th at 9 o'clock, they were kicking people out. They were like, okay, park's closed. Let's go. Come on, guy. You know, cause everyone had had enough and, you know,
enough
like,
people there.
Right. Yeah, but like, I think there were so many people, and like the next day was just so much more relaxed and so much more, you know,
you know what I think part of it is, and I think, I don't know, Kyle, if you want to chime in, what you think about this, but I think that this holiday, because it's unofficial and because it was started by fans, I think there are a lot of people who aren't necessarily as diehard Star Wars fans as we are, and they just kind of like Star Wars casually, and they really participate in it too, because it is a cultural phenomenon.
Yes.
So when you go to Batu on May 4th, there's going to be a lot of people there who normally won't be there on any other day because they want to join in that festivities and try to kind of be together with Star Wars fans and us who are the crazy fans versus ones who are a lot more casual who just, you know, like to see, you know, Grogu and that's it. I think that's kind of where you have that intersection of people, and because it's a cultural phenomenon that has been going on for so long, for decades now, with its resurgence with Disney Plus and all the shows that we're getting, we're seeing less films. I know there's films that are coming up in the future, but we're seeing less around this time period in May. So I think the influx of people there is because of that that interest that we're getting from other folks who would otherwise probably never even watch a Star Wars or have never watched it before until now.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I can't tell you how many people I have text me on May the 4th. Happy Star Wars Day. Like, my aunt will say something and I'm like, where'd you come from?
Yeah, who are you?
Like, I love you, but like, where did this come from?
Yeah. See, that's awesome though. Like, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it is like nice.
Like I said, I remember 2021 was a very bad year at work, and there were different situations going around, and basically nobody showed up on May 4th, like, to work, because I had off, and because I always have off, and the other people didn't show up. Well, Starbucks was just closed for that day. Like, nobody opened it because no one showed up. And the next day, when the customers were telling me, I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And they're like, well, no, we knew you weren't going to be here, but we figured someone would. Like, it was just kind of cool. I was like, aw. I'm like,
they need to get their Starbucks fix, and David wasn't there to save the day.
Yeah, but I was allowed to not be there because it's my holiday. So see, like, that was like, and that made me feel really cool. Like, I don't know. I just thought it was neat. But
speaking of Starbucks, right, and the mugs that we're gonna definitely have to get.
Yes. Oh my God. So that's what I was gonna say earlier with the because this whole online thing. Last year, when I was in line to go to the store to get the May 4th merchandise, you sent me the tweet from Jen Marie about the Starbucks cups and how they were online now. So I went online and ordered them just so I didn't have to carry them around. You know what I mean? Like, I went online right then and I ordered them. I get into the store. They weren't even in the store. They didn't have them.
Oh my goodness. That's such a good thing that you did that.
On May 4th, they didn't have them. So, like, I feel like even sometimes if you're there, you can't get everything. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like the world that we're in right now is kind of crazy because, you know, there I was at Disney. And yeah, so it's just, I don't know. It just boggles my mind, this world that we're in. Cause I miss the days of getting up early, getting in my costume, and going to the Disney store. Cause they loved that I showed up in costume or even just like my shirts or, you know, whatever. And I always brought a lightsaber and
it's a different world now, man. And everything's online too. So that makes it sometimes even more difficult to get something that you'd like because it sells out in less than a minute, you know?
I know. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of nervous about those Starbucks mugs because,
well, the thing is that they do eventually come back in stock. So if you do miss them, you could probably get them back in stock, or, you know, you could message somebody, you know, who can be a smuggler and get it from Disney.
No. But, it's called Snuggler. Snuggler.
Well, it's only called that on social media.
because you're not allowed to say smuggler.
Yeah, apparently. The algorithm doesn't like that. But
Wait, what did I miss? Why can't you say smuggler?
So, because Facebook flags it as, like, illegal activity or something. So,
oh my God, like, all I'm doing is smuggling spice. What is the big deal?
Well, exactly. But no, for some reason, Facebook thinks it's a big deal. So, like, now all of the smugglers in, like, the Star Wars groups and stuff, they call themselves snugglers. And, like, they even...
Because then the algorithm doesn't recognize it. Or they'll put, like, an asterisk in the word and take out a letter, because then it doesn't get flagged and people can still see the post.
And a lot of them don't say lightsaber anymore either. It says, they say burrito.
Burritos,
like,
yeah.
Like the new Cal Kestis burrito is coming out. And I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, what is going on?
That kind of irks me. Like, every time I see that, I'm like, it used to be a thing specifically to get around the algorithm. But now it's just, it's not even necessary. People say it because it's a thing in these groups. Oh. And it just kind of annoys me. And I'm like, can we stop calling them burritos? Because there's always somebody in there who's like, why are we calling it a burrito? And then everybody has to chime in and explain it to them every time. So I'm like, let's just call it what they are. Or I don't know, if you don't want to call it a lightsaber, call it a laser sword. Do something related to Star Wars, not food. I don't know. It's just kind of weird. But anyway, yeah, that's kind of how that works. And I'm a little nervous too with getting some things. That, I mean, I don't want a ton of things on May the 4th, but there's a few things that I really would like to get. Mugs being one of them, and then there's the retro figures for A New Hope, the remaining six.
Yeah, the remaining six, I have to get them.
Yeah, those will be out, I think, on Hasbro Pulse. It might also be on Shop Disney, but
yeah, they haven't confirmed if they're going to be on Shop Disney or not.
But they did mess up a little bit, and I'm kind of a little bummed because they had the shot to make the Jawa a vinyl cape, but they actually used a cloth cape, like a soft goods cape. Oh. Whereas the original retro ones, all of them have the vinyl capes, and it would kind of would be nice to have it all, you know, continuous and make it all look good.
Right.
As it used to be back when Kenner had, you know, did the licensing and all that. So anyway, I'm still going to get it, but I think they missed their opportunity there. That's all.
I think I'm going to have to get the Jawa separately also, like, cause I'm going to have to open one.
Like, yeah, I got some Jawas here on my desk.
I was going to say, so do I. So like, I feel like a retro one I'm really going to need, you know,
Kyle, we got to get you a couple Jawas or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a few Black Series ones, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have the Black Series ones. I have the I have the Vintage Collection ones, and I have the one from A New Hope, the 40th anniversary, like that Black Series one, but I think that's the only one I have.
I have the Black Series ones. I have the Funko Pop ones. I have the
Power Rangers. I have a Funko Pop, yes.
Vintage collection ones. Yeah. Pretty much most of them.
I was going to say, I make it a thing now, you know, probably because of the podcast, but like anytime I see something like a Jawa, I have to get it.
Yeah.
I know at Celebration, I was trying to take a picture of like every Jawa that I saw. And I ended up taking like 6 pictures of the same Jawa. And it's like, okay, I need to like figure out who's different and all that stuff.
Kyle, are you planning on getting anything on May the 4th with any deals you've been seeing?
Honestly, I think I just want that Mustafar Starbucks
that
cup.
Mug.
I had the Naboo one. I think that's it. But I don't even drink coffee or anything. I just like the mug.
Right.
I usually use a couple of them at least once a week, and I rotate them out because I have all of them that they've released so far. And so it's kind of like, if I don't get these, then it's kind of stick out like a sore thumb. I really like the Coruscant one too. I like the purple in it. So,
I want to see like the rest of it too, though. Yeah. Did you see on the Mustafar one, it has that Anakin and Obi-Wan fight pose on the one side?
Yeah.
We've only seen the one picture of it, right? Like, we haven't seen like a 360 view of the mug yet.
One picture.
Not yet. Only that one picture. Yeah.
Just like a tease.
But now I used to have 2 sets of those mugs because I had one displayed at work until corporate came in and said that I couldn't have them displayed anymore.
Yeah, because people kept wanting to buy them and you said, no, they're not available.
Well, they're not. They're my decorations.
Well, exactly. And that's the thing, right? Like, people think they're really cool, just like we do. And if you have it up there at a Starbucks, then people are going to ask you every time. So,
and yeah, unfortunately. And it was a good conversation starter.
This is true. This is true.
That's how a lot of people found out I was a Star Wars fan until I disappeared for Celebration in Anaheim. But, you know, like, that's how a lot of people found out. They were like, oh, whose mugs are those? I'm like, they have a beanie. They are my mugs. But yeah, for the first time this year, actually, my, well, not Lambertville, but the town across from me, which is called New Hope, Pennsylvania, they're actually having 2 different community events. One is at the high school, and then one is at a place called the Logan Inn, where some 501st Stormtrooper members and a Princess Leia and stuff are going to be there. And then they're doing like an outdoor screening of A New Hope. So me and a couple customers are actually definitely going to swing by both places, you know, to kind of partake in some local festivities, which doesn't always happen, which has never happened. Actually, usually it's just me and occasionally some of my friends watching the movies, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool. I'm gonna break my Kylo costume out. I'm gonna, you know, go. My one customer, Kenny, he's the tattoo guy, that I've told you guys about. He has a whole Mando armor set that he's gonna wear, and it's like themed like the Punisher from Marvel, so it's kind of like a crossover.
Oh, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so he's gonna be wearing that. So that's gonna be really cool.
Yeah, Definitely. I gotta take a bunch of pictures, and I'm sure you will, because I want to see what it looks like.
Yeah, I was gonna say, me take pictures? No, why would I do that?
No, you never take pictures.
I never take pictures.
We have to beg David to send pictures of himself. Like, he never sends us anything. It's like, I don't know what he looks like anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't know anything about that. David is just strictly like no photos of himself. It's just photos of things
so
he likes.
Weird. It's so weird. The funny thing is with May the 4th this year, though, like to get back on topic, is I'm seeing Guardians of the Galaxy on Star Wars Day.
Heretic. I'm just kidding.
It's funny because I was looking back in my Facebook memories and it must have been when Avengers Age of Ultron came out.
Yeah,
like that came out on May 4th, and like that was like the one year that like everything was Avengers and everything, and like I didn't put the only thing I posted was like a mashup Stormtrooper that was like Captain America or something like that, and I'm like, oh my mm-hmm. god, what did I do? Like, I oppressed my own religion. Like, what
oh my gosh,
on?
You know, Marvel like, loves that last week of April, first week of May. That
I know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cause like that's when Endgame came out too, but it was April, it was the end of April. Cause I remember it was Endgame and then May 4th, kind of right after that. But yeah, I wanna I saw the trailer for that on the big screen. Actually, today I got back from the 40th anniversary screening of Return of the Jedi, and it does it looks really good. It looks good. I haven't really been into the Marvel movies lately. Like the last few, but Guardians looks really good. I'm definitely going to have to check that out, but not on May 4th.
No, not on May 4th. I'm actually just looking up some things in my area, and it looks like, you know, there's, like I said, a trivia night at a vodka bar, okay, for May the 4th, be with you. I don't know. Maybe I'll go to that. We'll see. But, maybe if it's some like really cool prizes or something, I don't know. We'll see. But really not a whole lot going on over here. Really just more looking forward to seeing everybody else's excitement. It's kind of one of those, I think that there's one of those memes out there that always circulates around May the 4th that has, I believe it's Maggie Simpson. That's always like, I'm a Star War now. And it's like, everybody wants to join in, which is great. And it's fine, right. But it's always just a good chuckle.
Well, it's funny, yeah, because, like, you see all the influencers, like, mm-hmm. on Facebook, Instagram, and all them, like, you know, they take pictures in, like, Star Wars shirts or something, you know, and, like...
And they like, never talk about Star Wars, ever.
Right. It's like, are you really a Star Wars fan, or are you just, like, partaking in the day? And, like, whatever, like, you know, everybody spins a dreidel on the first day of Hanukkah, even if you're not Jewish, so...
Well, that was a real different tangent there. I don't even have a dreidel.
You don't have a dreidel?
No. Kyle, you have a dreidel?
Okay, but you have to know someone who has a dreidel.
No.
What?
I mean, I'm sure, yeah. Give me somebody out there.
I mean, it's not something that I ask when I just go meet somebody. Hey, by the way, you have a dreidel? Cool, now I got
lovely,
somebody.
Lovely house, by the way. Do you have any dreidels in here?
Yeah, no, I don't know anybody personally. I mean, maybe they do, like I said, David, but I've never brought that up or asked or seen it. So, you know, maybe you're just the odd one out here.
No, see, I have so many customers of so many backgrounds that, you know,
that's true. You do meet a lot of different people.
So. I get to partake in every holiday, I guess, you know, like, you know, yeah, I don't know. But sometimes it's the second day of Hanukkah because, you know, it's the whole... they can't go out after sundown thing. So sometimes I don't spin it till the second day, but you know, it's whenever I see them. Well. But yeah, no. I mean, back to May 4th, I just think it's like, so when I sat down to think about this episode, like I wanted to think about how much Star Wars content we've gotten since last May 4th. And it just blows my mind, like how much, like, you know, kick back a couple years ago and it was like a movie, you know, maybe a trailer for the next movie, maybe a video game, like, you know, like there wasn't like this much content, but like, you know, we've gotten Obi-Wan Kenobi Andor Season 1, Tales of the Jedi, The Bad Batch Season 2, The Mandalorian Season 3. We've been to two different Star Wars celebrations, Celebration Anaheim and Celebration Europe, in the span of the year. Me, myself, I've been to Galaxy's Edge 7 different days out of the last 365 days. And we've gotten the announcement for the next 3 Star Wars movies that, of course, was at Europe. And most important of all, we have gotten 13 episodes of Jawa Jabber since last May 4th. So go us. True.
Yeah. Go and us, it's all also thanks to Matt and Kyle for hopping on with us and kind of helping us move the thing forward, because it was kind of dead in the water for a while there. So,
oh, it was more than dead. It was deader than dead.
Was it disintegrated like Mando shooting the Jawas?
There you go. Yes, exactly.
No disintegrations.
Yes, that's right. No disintegrations. Oh, well, speaking of that, actually, yesterday I randomly we went to Walmart to get a bunch of different food because we made pizzas at home. And that was delicious, but I'm like, I'm going to wander down the toy aisle. So I wandered down the toy aisle and I'm like, okay, so there's a couple of random things here. It's a Lando's that's been there for 3 years. Don't know why that's still on full price. I bought a puzzle. I haven't ever bought a puzzle that's Star Wars related, but it does have Boba Fett on it and is overlooking Bespin. It's kind of cool looking photo and I can't wait to put it together.
Oh yeah, I think I've seen that one.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of puzzles either. Like, I have a few, but they're not put together.
And I also played the Mandalorian Monopoly with my girlfriend a couple of weeks ago. I forgot to tell you guys about that, which is actually really fun. That, I don't know if you've ever played the first one, not the newer one. There's a newer one now, and it's not as cool because, like, the game pieces aren't metal. They're just, like, cardboard. Then they go into these pieces of plastic, so it's just cheap.
Oh, okay.
But the one with Moff Gideon and, like, the, there's a red stormtrooper in there, like, all the different colors of the pieces that you play with. The game is actually a lot of fun, so I'd recommend, you know, I initially just bought it because I wanted that retro stormtrooper, the remnant one, on the retro card. But I never played it until just a few weeks ago. But surprisingly, I think we played it like 3 times and we played it on the hardest level too. So recommend it. It's a lot of fun. Maybe we'll do that on May 4th. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be cool. Kyle, do you have any like old school Star Wars board games that you like used to play now that Dennis has opened up this topic?
I don't think so. I don't have. Okay. I've played the same board games for like the last decade, like whether it's Life. I have the SpongeBob edition from when I was a kid. Or
nice.
Cards. I just played Life yesterday.
Another card game I like to play, but I don't know. I remember having a Star Wars Monopoly version when I was little, but I don't have any of the. There's a bunch of new games for Star Wars that have just come out, like escape games and stuff like that. That look interesting, but it's like $60 for a box. It's just crazy.
I bought one of those at Celebration. It's supposed to be like an escape room, but it's like Star Wars.
Yes, you did. I
bought one of those. I haven't played it yet, but I'm planning on it. But like the reason I brought it up, because I had this board game and it would have been around, around the time the special editions came out. So like 97, 98. And it was called Escape from the Death Star. And it used a VHS tape. And I used to make my sister play it with me all the time. And it was this like 3D board. And you put in the VHS tape and it was like timed. So it was like an hour. And you were these rebel soldiers going around beating up stormtroopers and stuff. And you were planting bombs throughout the second Death Star. And when you got on the last, place, you put the final bomb in there. And then you had to turn off the VHS tape. That was the end of the game before the Death Star like got to the rebel base and blew it up, like, you know, because obviously you lost. But like, yeah, like it was like a really cool, like,
it's like interactive,
right? Like, and it would play music like while you were doing it, and then like Vader would come on screen and be like, "You, the rebel that is holding the dice, you are going to the detention block," or something like that. You know what I mean? And then like you had like the other player had to go to the detention block to break them out of it, and like the whole like whatever. But it was a really cool Like, I feel like it was a little ahead of its time. Like,
yeah, it sounds like it, especially like considering how much, you know, like I said, interactivity it had, and it wasn't just
Yeah. And I mean, like, it was just like, and it was just a VHS tape, and like, you know, so like looking back on it now with like my lens of today, like it would have been cool. Like if it was a DVD and then like, if you put the last bomb, you could skip to the end and it was like a different cut scene or something, you know, like,
yeah.
But it's kind of sad because it kind of predicted Rogue One, because I never thought of this when I was younger, but like, you know, you blow up the Death Star, you're dead.
Yeah.
So like it was kind of like Rogue One, the board game, because we all kind of died, but you know, we were saving the galaxy, so it was okay. But wow, I never thought about that when I was younger.
Well, there
that's
you go.
Really interesting.
That's your thing you learned today.
It is. other than, can we go slightly off topic? Kyle, I know that you didn't see it, and I'm sorry. But Dennis, I know you did. The 40th anniversary of Return of the Jedi, the screening. I found it so interesting, the amount of little details that I noticed that I did not notice my million and a half times watching it on my own.
Okay, like, well, mention them and then we'll see if Kyle has noticed this before, because I'm
That's a good game. All right, Kyle, so are you ready? Cool. All right, so all right, so when 3PO is in Jabba's palace and Jabba like knocks him over,
yeah,
and he like splashes into something or whatever, when he comes back into frame, he's got all this like slime on his face.
Yeah, the green goo. And, yeah.
Yeah, really? I've never noticed that before.
Are you serious?
I swear, my hand to God.
I have a figure with Salacious Crumb and 3PO. I think it's a 30th anniversary one. And it has that goop on his face and on his arms and stuff.
I never noticed it. I swear to God, I never noticed it.
That's crazy.
And the other big one for me, which unfortunately I saw ahead of time in a Facebook post, but I did look for it and I did see it and I had never seen it before. When Leia gets shot toward the end of the movie, and the whole I love you, I know, when Han gets up, he's got blood on his hand. He's got Leia's blood on his hand.
Really?
Yeah. And I never, like I said, I saw it in a Facebook post. So
I haven't seen that.
I was looking for it like today, like, but it was a Facebook post about the seeing it on the movie screen and how they had never seen it before. So like I was waiting for it and I saw it and I was like, oh my God. And it's actually there for like a couple scenes. Like
Kyle, did you notice it?
He's got like blood on his hand and it's obviously Leia's blood. And it was just like, it was really cool. Like these little details and like Vader's mask, like how dirty it gets at the end. And like,
yeah.
And like 3PO, the same thing, like 3PO was, and I know, I remember reading a behind the scenes thing where like, they always tried to dirty up 3PO because when he's all shiny, like the camera reflects in him and all that stuff. And, you know, so like they were always trying to like dirty him up and whatever. But like, yeah, it was just, and I'm sorry, Star Wars, I love watching it at home and on repeat and on my May 4th viewings and yada, yada, yada. But like, it belongs on the big screen.
I completely agree. When I saw it like on the big screen, it was amazing. Like it was just like,
right,
tiny, tiny little tear almost teared up when the words first came on the screen, because I had never seen it in theaters in Return of the Jedi. And so when I did, it was just, it's just a great experience. And being able to share that with people who are there, who are also wanting to see it in theaters, who have never seen it in theaters, was just really cool.
Now, was there a lot of people, Dennis?
I mean, it filled up quick and this was a 2:00 p.m. matinee. So, yeah.
Okay, there were 10 of us in my theater today. So mine did not fill up, but you know, it's okay. Like,
so I noticed a couple things, and I have not ever noticed these while watching it at home.
Ooh, what?
So it's funny that you mentioned yours. Two of them. One of them's related to what you just talked about, and it's kind of like, I don't know why I noticed that. You talked about the blood on Han's hand, right?
Right.
When, But when he pushes Leia, or when he pushes Carrie Fisher up against the wall to get her out of the way, he totally cops a feel. Like, Harrison Ford totally really? Grabs her chest. Yeah, and pushes her. I'm like, well, that's probably not his first time at that scene anyway. So, like, you know, they had that whole thing going on behind the scenes. Right. And it's like, she's probably like, yeah, whatever. It's just part of the acting, right? And I was like, that was a total boob grab, man. Like, it was absolutely in your face kind of thing.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, but unrelated to that one, the one that really stuck out to me the most was, you know, the third part of the movie, like the last third of the movie, is always the most fun for me because there's so much happening and mm-hmm. there's so much emotional things that are going on, and the, you know, just the gravity and the weight of what's happening, it's all coming to a head. It's really like the throne room scene, right? We always talk about that with the swelling of the music and the, you know, like the emotional aspect of that. But I really noticed this time that for the majority of those scenes, and I know they weren't all shot in like one continuous, you know, time frame, but the majority of those scenes, Vader's chest plate is not on. He's breathing. He's, you know, doing,
really?
But it is not on. And it's different because, you know, when he gets off the shuttle, right, everything is blinking like at the beginning of the film, right? Everything is,
yeah.
You know, you can see all the green and red lights and it's pretty much like Vader Christmas tree. But at the end there, it's not on almost at all. So with the dirty helmet and the lights on his chest plate are completely off. And then like there's another part towards the end because you know how they switch back and forth from the dogfight in, you know, in the space and then down to the forest moon of Endor. And then now you have Luke and Vader fighting on the Death Star in the throne room. It keeps switching back and forth. So occasionally I did catch a glimpse of it was on, but very faintly, like it wasn't as bright as it was at the beginning of the movie. So I was just kind of like, that must've just been a post thing that they didn't notice. Or if they did, they said, don't worry about it because we're focusing on the story and not that so much. Right. I just never noticed that before. So when I did, I'm like, Every time it switched back to the scene of Luke and Vader fighting, those lights were not on. And I'm like, how is he breathing? Like, it's part of his whole system.
That is really interesting because I didn't notice. That sounds like something I would notice because mm-hmm. I tend to pick up those, like, stupid little things. But, like, no, I did not notice that.
You want to hear one thing that I didn't even think of, but my girlfriend Kayla, she actually caught this, which I never caught in the how many years I've been watching Return of the Jedi. I think a good point is, like, you know, obviously we see that conflict with Vader looking back and forth when the Emperor is, you know, electrocuting Luke, and he's looking mm-hmm. back and forth and basically deciding what he should do, and that, you know, obviously his love for his son wins out in the end. But even before that, when Luke is going ham on him and just completely cuts his arm off and he's just kind of hanging there, you know, on that railing, and Vader's just on the ground, and he throws his lightsaber away and basically tells the Emperor that, you know, he's a Jedi like his father before him. I honestly think that probably helped to influence Anakin or Vader to, you know, to actually go through with what he did at the end with the Emperor, because his whole life, right, he's been wanting to be seen. He's been wanting to be, you know, the greatest Jedi ever, right? You know, going back to the prequels, and, you know, he'd be more powerful than anybody. And he's wanting to be seen as the chosen one, the one who is going to bring balance to the Force. And then he has all these things happen, right? We all know the story. But at that point, having his son say that and say, you know, I'm not going to go down the same path as you did, Dad, but, you know, I am a Jedi just like you, or just like you were, right? I honestly think that may have helped in some emotional way kind of change his mind a little bit and say, no, I'm not going to let the Emperor kill my son. Because if it was anybody else, Vader wouldn't care. But it's his son. You know, we know all the things Vader did in the comics and in the films. Like, he's vicious. He's brutal. But when it comes to his son, he can't take that anymore. And I think that was a really good catch that I never thought of. Like, when he said that, I think something happened, you know, in Anakin's mind or in Vader's mind, that this is my son and he recognizes me and sees me beyond this machine that he's become.
Yeah, no, that's a good, I like that. Yeah, no, it probably did. I mean, it definitely didn't hurt.
No, you know? Absolutely not.
I'm sure. Yeah. In some way he felt validated, and yeah, definitely. even though he just got his arm chopped off. But, you know, hey, no, my son loves me. It's okay. You know,
hey, he was just repaying the favor. That's all.
That's true. But a Jedi does not seek revenge.
And that's why he stopped, you know, right? We got whole circle that came complete. But I also, I know you've noticed this, Kyle, you've probably definitely noticed this, but at the beginning of the movie, you know, Luke is in all black, right? He does the little force choke basically to the Gamorrean guards, and he's in all black through the whole movie. The only time you actually see that flap on his shirt come open where it shows a little bit of white, or I guess grayish white, is after that scene when he's basically almost going to kill Vader. And then he throws away his lightsaber. And so that's like a symbol, but like it's revealing that he's not going down the same path as Anakin did. He's not turning into the dark side, and he's not giving up his life for the Emperor to become his apprentice. He's actually still has good in him, just like Vader, which I thought was just a chef's kiss that they did that. Because I don't know if it was on purpose, but I think it was. Does anybody know?
I think it was definitely like
you think what? You kind of broke up there.
Well, no, I didn't break up. I was thinking. I would say it was definitely intentional, like costume design. Like I believe George Lucas had that idea. Like, you know, that he would be teetering on the dark side. Obviously, the Emperor and Vader want to turn him to the dark side. You know, he knew that he wasn't going to turn to the dark side. So, like, I think it was maybe a toy with the audience. And, you know, it's the third one. It was going to be the last one. Mm-hmm. You know, like, maybe he will turn to the dark side. I don't know. I would say it was pretty intentional. I don't think it was a mistake.
No.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree with that.
Yeah, I really like that. I just like the aspect of showing us that. Like Kyle says that all the time, you know, don't tell me, show me. Show me what's happening.
Right.
And show me how, you know, we're seeing the culmination here of the first six, I guess, or the final Return of the Jedi, and how that means more than just Luke. It means Vader, it means Anakin, it means multiple different things. So I love the movie. Like, I honestly do. But my favorite is the last third of it. I think that's my favorite.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. It was so good. It was great seeing it again. You know, not that I didn't watch it like a week ago at home. But, like, it's just different seeing it on the big screen. It just really is. Kyle, you got anything you want to add to this conversation before we wrap up for the night? Like, any other tangent that we can go off of for a couple minutes or something you've been itching to talk about or anything like that?
I don't think so, to be honest with you. It's been nice listening to you guys talk about your traditions and your experience seeing Jedi in the theaters for the first time. I mean, I like that a lot.
Yeah, it was something I definitely wanted to bring up, particularly because, you know, we're recording tonight and I had just seen it and I know Dennis had just seen it. So, you know, it's definitely something I wanted to bring up. I don't know. It was just an awesome experience, and I'm glad I did it, because I wasn't gonna do it actually, and I was like, nah, because it wasn't really close to me or anything. But then one of my customers talked me into it and was like, hey, I'll go with you. So I went with him, and it was, you know.
Glad you were able to go. Yeah, it's really cool.
And he was great, because he said he hasn't seen it since, you know, like 83, like 40 years ago in the theater. So like he said he felt like an 11-year-old kid again. It was, you know, awesome. Right.
I just kind of wanted to say a couple few things at the end of the episode here. And I think it speaks for all of us when it comes to Star Wars and its meaningful impact in our lives. One of the biggest things is our friendship, right? That this is blossomed out of that, and meeting each other at a convention, at celebration, that has to do with how much we love this franchise and how much we love the lore and everything related to it. I think friends and family is something that Star Wars really means a lot to me, with regards to how we have kind of become family, extended family, or family because we feel that way towards each other. Having that additional friendship and those additional relationships sometimes that wouldn't even happen if not for Star Wars. You know, the typical quote that probably everybody would say is, you know, hope. That's kind of one of the things that I really love about Star Wars, is that you can really relate it to things in your life, that, you know, there's something that you can go to that still gives you happiness, even if you're not going through the best of times in your life. It gives you that comfort. How many times have we fallen asleep on a Star Wars movie? Even Kyle was talking about, you know, his fiance now. So congratulations, by the way, again, that she was falling asleep to a Star Wars show watching it. And it's kind of like, it reminded me kind of how it happens to us occasionally when we're watching something. And it's not because it's boring to us. It's because we've seen it so many times that it's kind of like when you have your comfort food or your comfort blanket or whatever, it's something that really just brings something in us that nothing else does to that degree. And it's more than just a hobby. It's more than just a movie. It's a huge part of our lives. And I think that it really just brings the best out in all of us.
That was beautiful, man. I'd have to agree. And you meet certain people that kind of reinvigorate that love of Star Wars for you, whether it's just a difference of opinions or they point something out that you never really noticed, or how something in Star Wars makes them feel. Like, I can't tell how many times there's been like a drought in my life from Star Wars, and you just meet a friend, whether it's one of you guys or somebody else I met at Celebration, that just makes you see things in a different way and kind of like sparks that love for Star Wars all over again. So
yeah.
I owe my life to it. So.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's only, and I say this lovingly, like, it's only gotten worse in the past year. Like, you know, rewind to a year ago, and I was getting ready to go to Disney for the first time since they opened Star Wars Land and Planet Batuu and whatever. So like, that kickstarted it, and then Anaheim, and then all, you know, so getting to hang with all you guys, and, you know, like, just the Obi-Wan Kenobi premiere and everything we did at Anaheim, and then at the end of Anaheim, them announcing London in less than a year. And like, it was just this like wild and crazy emotional train that just kept going and going and going all year long. Cause we had Obi-Wan, we had all this other stuff, we had, you know, and then the lead up to Mando. And then we just got back from Celebration again. And now the Return of the Jedi screening, like, it's just, it's been so much, and it's so much of my life. And like, in some ways I don't have time for anything else, and I'm okay with that. Like, you know, we got this podcast started again, and we get to hang out, you know, once every couple of weeks, and it's great. And like, I look forward to it, and it's awesome. And we just get to sit around and talk about one of our favorite things. And I don't, it means the world to me. I don't know how else to.
Yeah. It makes us all happy, and we enjoy something to that much.
It brings us joy. Exactly. And you know, it just, the relatable characters and everything, like, it's just there's so much. And actually, one of my coworkers who hasn't watched a lot of the newer stuff, but like, she was a journalist back in the 80s and stuff, so like, she covered a lot of Star Wars and all this stuff, and like she says, it's, there's so much going on in Star Wars. Like, you know, there's profound thoughts, there's, you know, the hero's journey, there's this, there's it, like there's just so much going on that like, it's hard not to get lost in this world, you know. And like,
right, it can be very relatable, which is why I think it's been so enduring too, because it's not just any old movie, it's so much more than that.
Yeah, I mean, we're going on almost 50 years now.
Yeah, there aren't that many films out there or franchises that have lasted that long.
No,
there are some, but not many.
There are some, but not many. No, and Star Wars kind of paved the way for that, I think, in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, I don't know. It just, it's the best. I love it, and happy Star Wars Day, everybody!
Happy Star Wars Day!
Happy Star Wars Day!
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say other than that's going to wrap up our episode. You know, what do you guys think? Yep, no, exactly. I had to find it. I've been wanting to play this for a while, and I finally found like a good version of it, and I figure since I just got back from Return of the Jedi, this was going to be a good time to do it. Dennis, why don't you lead us out with our social media spiel?
Sure. Go ahead and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We may not always keep up to date on it as much as I'd like to, but that's all right. So give us a follow, comment on our things. We'd love to be able to hear your thoughts on the episode, on the podcast. And we'd love to have you on if you want to be able to come on the show. Send an email to jabberingjawas@gmail.com or just message any one of us on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. And we'd be happy to include you on an episode and just kind of talk about Star Wars. That's just what we love to do. So if you want to follow us on those social media sites, please go ahead. And that's it.
Also, we want to know what your plans are for May 4th. You know, take some pictures, share with us. We really want to see what you guys, obviously, other than listening to us talk about May the 4th, you know, we want to know what you guys are doing to celebrate the holiday. So for Matt the Radar Technician, Kenobi, Dennis the Phantom Menace, I am David Wren. Thank you very much for listening, and may the Force be with you always.
This is the May.
This is the May.
This is the May.